And now,
it's back to Cooks Mshungu
on 702.
Welcome back to your 702 Weekend Breakfast, the Easter Sunday edition of the show. And time for us to get into sustainability. So a couple of days ago, actually, I spotted a tweet by researcher, consumer scientist and recipe developer Sandy Lefinga, in which they said that it seems consumers are using more sorghum-related products, which I thought was interesting because I do think even though sorghum and millet are these wonderful indigenous grains, we've kind of abandoned them for other grains. And so we wanted to speak to Zandile about their work and why they have this sorghum agenda. And Zandile joins us on the line this morning. Zandile, a very good morning to you. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Morning, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Zandile. And how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
It's good to have you. So tell us about the sorghum agenda. What is the sorghum agenda? Why is sorghum so important to part of the work that you do?
So the sorghum agenda actually started as an ode to my late grandmother. You know, being Mosotho, we ate a lot of mabele growing up. And once I started living in the city, I realized that people actually don't eat that much mabele. And in my studies, I spent more time trying to figure out like where it will come into play in terms of all the culinary things we were learning, and it just never did. So I've dedicated my time trying to understand the grain, but also, you know, sort of taking everyone on the journey of trying to understand the grain and why it's become such a silent commodity in our everyday.
For many of us, when we think of sorghum, we think of porridge, we think of beer. So tjwala besintu, sorghum beer. And so we have a very limited view of what the grain can do. Is it particularly versatile? Or is that also part of the work you're doing, is trying to show it goes beyond just those two things?
Yeah. People, you know, associate it with traditional beer, like you've mentioned, or porridge, or ding. And that's because of the form that we buy it in. But if you look beyond just the coarse grain and you go towards the flour, then you start being able to use it for things like cakes or cookies or muffins, just generally the baked things that we love and that we can use like wheat for. We can add sorghum to that and still, you know, get the benefits of the grain.
And do we understand why perhaps there is this, I don't want to say willingness, but there's definitely we prioritize other grains over sorghum. I know Dr. Anna Tripita, who we often talk about, she's always so upset that we ignore millet, which she thinks is such a great indigenous grain. But why is it? Do we know why consumers have moved away from sorghum, even though it is, my understanding, very nutritious, very versatile, and delicious?
Yeah, and I mean, it's also because of our climate and because of it being indigenous, it's also drought resistant. So I think it goes beyond just consumer perception. So, you know, as a researcher, I've looked at how it goes just beyond the fact that people see it as a poverty food. So some people don't want to associate with it because of, you know, the social perception of it. Others are not quite familiar with the product, or are not familiar with the fact that they've consumed it. You know, if they've had maltabela, they didn't associate it with sorghum. And one of the greatest parts that I am looking at now is just, you know, around the legislation where, as much as it's an indigenous grain and as much as it's, you know, something that plays so integrally in diets, if we look at it from a South African indigenous point of view, it is, you know, vatted. So there's a expense to it that makes it so inaccessible at the current moment. And that's also one of the drivers that I've sort of noticed and observed.
So when we speak about accessibility, if I wanted to go out and get some today to make cookies or to make, you know, any number of the recipes that you also share on, you know, a lot of your social media, it's not as easy, or is it particularly challenging to find sorghum in the shops?
Yeah. A lot of the retailers, you know, believe there isn't a demand for it, but I'm always of the belief that people can't demand what they don't know. So there isn't, you know, knowledge and information put forward about the grain, and it isn't promoted. And in fact, I think one of the biggest industries for sorghum is animal feed, which for me is ridiculous. I think it's one of those things where trying to get more people to get into sorghum creates that bit of demand for people to sort of look out for it and, you know, request for it to be put on their shelves. And that also allows for more versatile formats of the grain to be on your shelf.
I remember a couple of years ago, I did quite an interesting interview with Umam Doras Tolle, and she was saying she's quite excited about... She said there was an African revolution, so a revolution in African cuisine. There was a moment that our food and our ingredients were having, that there was greater interest, not just internationally, but domestically as well. And I wonder if you would agree that there is more interest, there's more curiosity about African foods, but maybe that there's still a little bit of work to be done still in that space.
It's having a weird moment right now where it's a bit exotified. So if you do spot it, it's, you know, often in like these upper scale restaurants, which is great, but still, you know, the middle person still doesn't have access to it that much. So you have tourists getting exposed to the sorghum in different ways, you know, be it molasses or puffed sorghum on the dessert plates. But the mid person in South Africa hasn't had that much of exposure, you know, to that revolution as yet. But it is coming forth. You know, there's a lot of places now that have started applying more of our indigenous ingredients, you know, from spekboom to sorghum to adding different forms of millet. You know, if you were in Cape Town, Emma Zulini did a great job in honoring and highlighting those indigenous products that we have. So it's a slow revolution, but I believe that it's like it's growing far beyond what we can envision right now.
So if someone's curious about sorghum, they're listening to this conversation and they think, actually, I didn't realize that sorghum was a little more versatile beyond beer or porridge. Where is a good place for them to start? What are pretty simple, I guess, entry-level ways to start using more of the grain?
So you can use it to make banana bread. So I have like a recipe out that used that. So that's when you'd use the flour form of the grain. If you do find the whole grain, that for me is like top intro level for everyone, because you can just use it as, you know, part of your salad. So it is accessible, you know, across the table. You don't have to try to convince people to eat it because, I mean, we're all experimenting with couscous and quinoa, so you might as well just have the sorghum grain. But from the flour perspective, you know, you can make pancakes or waffles or bread, and I think that's a good start to experiment with the grain.
And sorghum is gluten-free.
It is completely gluten-free. It is low GI, so a lot of people with diabetes or, you know, cholesterol problems and things like that, it's very good for the system. It's like a fire form of a grain, as small as it is, which is why I try to like champion it so much, because there's so many benefits.
You share quite a lot of recipes on some of your social media platforms. If people are looking to find, you know, find you and the recipes that you share, where do we find you on the interwebs?
Okay, so on my Instagram as well, I have most of these recipes, and it's on queen_finxa. So that's my surname, Fingler. So yeah, queen_finxa, and that's on my Instagram, and then on Twitter is where I usually just put tidbits and little info pieces on sorghum. And I think online, if you just also look at Queen Fingler, you'll find some of the recipes that I've put out through different publications.
Sandile, I must thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been great having you on the show.
Thank you for having me, and I hope you have a lovely day.
Thank you so much. That is Zandile Queen Finga. They are a researcher, consumer scientist, and a recipe and product developer, someone leading the sorghum agenda, trying to get more of us to eat this wonderful, nutritious, indigenous grain.